Good morning, family. And good morning to everybody that's watching on the internet. You know, wouldn't it be great to be able to sit down with one another if we had all the time in the world and find out why on earth you've chosen this to be your house? More. Oh, absolutely fill him to overflowing. Yeah. Would you not admit that this is not your usual standard suburban little church on the corner? That's all right, isn't it? You know? I mean, here we are, joined with like 9 other campuses and more on the go, you know, around the greater Toronto area. And here we are as a fellowship, as a church. This is without presumption or pride. It's with amazing thanksgiving and responsibility that there's just peoples around the world that are absolutely being affected by what the Lord has poured forth from this place. And it's absolutely amazing with the conferences and the leader schools and, wow, and the church plants that are happening. And it would be so good to know. Why don't you share with somebody, you're going out for lunch today. Why don't you, I'm sure you're going out for lunch or dinner, even if you're together. And it would be fun to just sort of talk about, well, how did you end up coming to this place called Toronto Airport Christian Fellowship, Catch the Fire, anyway, you know? And I believe that probably at least 90% of you are here because the Lord called you to be here. Some of you are here probably because she made you come. And it was one of those setups. God's great at doing setups to get you exactly in the place he wants you to be, so we can pour his love and his heart out for you. That was so awesome. One thing that I just love that we're starting to come into, oh Lord, let it grow, is that we can be so flexible to just listen to the Holy Spirit and value his presence here and forget the program and just go with what he wants to do. How many of you know that takes people out of their comfort zone? Isn't that wonderful? He's the God of surprises, actually. Wow. And I really believe that, wow, there's such an anointing up here, I can hardly stand up. What did you do up here? I don't think it's just up here. It's just, he's just spilling out all over the place. When we were doing wake-up call this Wednesday morning, we were back under the mezzanine here because Partners in Harvest Conference was upstairs, and we were just trying to be, just see what the Holy Spirit wanted to do without an agenda. And it was really interesting. All around the room were like little whirlpools. And I had a picture of, you know, the whirlpool rapids there at Niagara Falls. They were like small whirlpools happening all around that back room in there. And as people kind of went into them, they got just moving around worshiping, they sort of got stuck there. And I just sense that there's whirlpools of his presence all around this room today. You're going to get touched. I love that. The whole room, I'm surprised the whole room wasn't up here, but there wasn't a room. How many of you need some loving? And look at everybody came, and you know, Bill's sitting here with, you know, Peter Jackson from, it's not Peter Jackson, it's Peter Thompson. I don't think I'm going to get my message out. And he's saying, I got so much love, it's just pouring over. In fact, if I asked for any more, I wouldn't have anywhere to put it. That's because you're not supposed to sit and soak and sour. You're supposed to, you know, you get filled up so it pours out. You get filled up so it pours out. Wow. And so I really know that the Lord has called us here, called you here to be part of what he's pouring out in renewal and revival around the world. And it's amazing. It's amazing how exciting it is to begin to experience the reality of what we believe. Did you hear what I said? We've been nodding our heads and saying, oh yeah, hallelujah, amen. I believe that, yes, et cetera, et cetera. But all of a sudden, things are happening over these last couple of years where we're beginning to experience the things that we say, the things that we've quoted, the things that we've longed for. We're starting to experience that reality. Do you like that? John Arnott speaks of 3 journeys: the inward journey, the upward journey, and the outward or onward journey. Now, I realize that there's a different understandings of those concepts, and I, while I'm using John's words, I'm going to be using them from another point of view. Oh, my goodness. I think I'll just do a Heidi and lay down. Stop that. Now, this is Sunday morning. We don't do things like this on Sunday morning. Conferences, yes, but Sunday morning. Listen, over the years, we've had numerous wonderful prophetic ministries encouraging us about this upward journey. You know, encouragement to go higher, come on up higher, as the Apostle John said in Revelation 4, you know, come up higher. And here's Jason this morning singing that marvelous chorus, you know, come on up higher, come on up into my... Didn't you? Where did Nicole go? Oh, you're there, good. Wow, come on up higher. Coming to know the spiritual realm, the heavenly realm, the angelic realms. And then there's all sorts of wonderful ones come into our midst and part of us here that challenges into the outward and the onward journey, taking the works of the kingdom to the marketplace and outside the walls of the church. Did you hear what I said? Outside. Outside the walls of the church. But this morning, I want you to consider your inward journey. Because I really want you to consider seriously, in the midst of everything that's happening in this glorious place, how good your foundations are. How good are your foundations? Because you see, they really determine how sustained and fruitful your going higher and your going outward will be. Your foundations are absolutely, absolutely essential. So when I'm talking about inward journey this morning, I'm talking about us strengthening our foundations. You know, there's some great examples of the need for deep, good foundations. We have two, we have several blue spruce across our back garden. And they've been there for 29 or 30 years, and they were really getting gorgeous. I don't know, I don't want to exaggerate, but I think they're probably at least a minimum of 40 feet tall. And in January, you know, I guess between Christmas and New Year's last year, we had one of those, remember those tremendous blizzardy storms, and the next morning we came down, we looked out, and here's one of our magnificent trees. They kept the whole back woods kind of, and the highway behind us kind of, you know, made us more secluded, and here's one of these absolutely gorgeous things straight across our backyard. And then probably about a month later, it cost us about $700 to get that thing cut up and taken out of there. I understand that's a bargain compared to what some other people had to pay. Whoa, excuse me, but pardon me, I'm glad I got a good foundation up here. And about 3 weeks later, we'd been away on some kind of a ministry trip or something and came home, and I looked out through our, we got sliding glass doors out of the kitchen. I thought, gee, that tree looks really full out there. It was funny. And I got up in the morning and came down. There was the other one, flat on its belly, if blue spruce have bellies, laying straight across our backyard, two of them, absolutely beautiful and high and great to look at, but they had such shallow root balls that when the storm came and the wind came, away they went. It's amazing, isn't it? I think about high office towers. And when I was just sort of putting this together, I thought about the Sears Tower in Chicago, but it's a different name. It's not the Sears Tower now, but you probably know what I mean. And it's one of the world's tallest skyscrapers. It's 110 stories tall. Its foundation goes 100 feet deep. I had an interesting time just this week looking up our old CN Tower down here, which is like was the tallest freestanding tower. When the engineers started to plan the foundations of the CN Tower, they were breaking new ground in more ways than one. Never before had anyone been faced with the task of designing a base so far into the ground, and they came up against many construction challenges unique to this project. After an elaborate series of tests in the soil to assess the condition of the bedrock, say with me, bedrock, because I'm going to look at that in a minute, and determine how it would react to changes in hydrostatic pressure, the work was ready to begin. And in February 1973, hundreds of people engaged in a historic enterprise moved in and started to carve out the launching pad for the world's tallest tower. They removed 62,000 tons of earth and shale before pouring a thick concrete and steel foundation 22 feet deep on a base of hand and machine smooth shale. and supporting the world's tallest building was a tall order, and by the time it was finished, the Y-shaped foundation contained 9,200 cubic yards of concrete, 500 tons of reinforcing steel, and 40 tons of thick tension cables. And the thoroughness and the speed of which the foundation was laid is noteworthy. The complete foundation was in place just 4 months after the first spade of the earth had been turned. Did you ever, I haven't been in downtown Toronto wandering around for a long time, but we used to go down, especially when the towers were going up, the bank towers there on Bay and Front Streets. And did you ever walk along the street where they're putting up these towers and they've got these huge barricades, you know, that with the fences up and the wood up, and you really wonder what was going on behind. And every time you can get to a place and you can peek through, there's little peek holes. You're looking through and you can see this foundation that's just like, whoa, that's all I can say. It just is going so deep because of what it has to hold. I think of a multi-span bridges, and we've watched stuff on the National Geographic, you know, channel and so forth, of them putting these huge spans of bridges across expanses of water, and how deep they have to, they put the pillars down to be able to hold the bridge, down to rock bottom. Well, it's interesting. Jesus says something about getting it onto rock bottom. And I realized when I told Steve this is what I want to talk about, and I thought it was kind of out of context with what was happening here, because if you've been part of church here for the last month or so, you'll realize, of course, don't you, that we've been going through Matthew chapter 5 and chapter 6 and looking at the Beatitudes. I remember Linda Duncombe here a couple of weeks ago, her little message was just so absolutely full of fire. It was so alive. And looking at our attitudes to one another and the choices that we make, and that was in chapter 5, and now I'm a bridge, as it were, between chapter 5 and chapter 6. As I go on and read into that, you're going to be getting that. I think maybe Carol might do it next week, and I know Steve will be following along with that. And I realized, I thought it was out of context. And then I realized that what Jesus says, and I'll quote them to you in a minute, ties in with what you're hearing from the speaker about our attitudes and what needs to be planted deep within our heart. It's amazing. And the foundations that are there, Luke 6 is ties almost the same as Matthew 5 and 6. And here's what Jesus said from the message. These words I speak to you are not mere additions to your life, homeowner improvements to your standard of living. They're foundation words, words to build a life on. If you work the words into your life, you're like a smart carpenter who dug deep and laid the foundations on bedrock. When the river burst its banks and crashed against the house, nothing could shake it. It was built to last. But if you just use my words in Bible studies and don't work them into your life, you're like a dumb carpenter who built a house but skipped the foundation. And when the swollen river came crashing in, it collapsed like a house of cards. It was a total loss. Work the words into your life. And I looked and I realized that, because I looked it up in Matthew, it's right after he's finished teaching about the Beatitudes and our attitudes and everything that we've been hearing for the last month and everything that you're going to hear for the next month, when all of that has been taught into, please, would you please read Matthew 5 and Matthew 6 and Matthew 7 for yourselves, okay? But he says, if you pay attention to my words, and I used to just take that totally out of context and say, oh yeah, those are the words of Jesus, but the words he's talking about are the words that he has just spoken, that are recorded in Matthew 5 and Matthew 6. And that he wants us to work those words into our life so that there's a foundation there, so that when all hell is breaking loose around us, we're able to stand strong. We're able to stand firm and you don't flip over like my beautiful blue spruce trees. And I don't know where I was, but since I've been a little kid, I've known that story about, you know, the wise man that built his house upon a rock and the foolish man that built his house upon sand. And I don't know what I was seeing or thinking. Obviously, I didn't look at it very deeply. And I guess I just pictured a guy building his house on a rock. Like, there's a rock by the river and, you know, some solid ground there. And he builds his house there rather than, you know, on the sand at the shoreline. But it wasn't that. It's not there. But down, Jesus says, is to be built on a foundation that's right down to bedrock, not just sitting on top of a rock. And so I ask you this morning, as I've asked myself, as I've thought about this, how deep are your foundations? Or how shallow are they? Is your house on a rock? And by that I mean the rock of revelation knowledge that the Lord gives us as he says, work the word that I've just spoken to you. Work it out in your life. You need the help of the Holy Spirit to do that. You can't just pull yourself up by the bootstraps and make it work. It's the Holy Spirit within you that transforms you, enables you to take that word and make it come alive. Deepen your spirit, not just mental agreement with what you read or what you have preached to you. And I know that there's umpteen of you here that have embraced the joy of revival, the excitement, the experience, and the signs and wonders, and experience is great. But let me just ask you kind of boldly, what impact has the revival, what impact has sort of going higher having in your everyday walking around life? Where we're to be people of God's kingdom, manifesting his life and his light in the world around us. We're called to such a deep relationship. That's why that worship this morning, the song, the words were so fantastic. So we're called to such deep relationship and fellowship and intimacy with God in such a personal way that his life begins to pour out of us in everyday circumstances. I'll never forget Bobby Connor here a couple of years ago said something that just made me go, ouch, and it still does. He says, one of the purposes of being a Christian is to make an invisible God known. That's something to think about while you're eating your turkey. One of the purposes of being a Christian is to make an invisible God known. And I hope there are none of you here this morning that this is would apply to you, but we know that some just fall into the trap of being satisfied with the occasional spiritual experience. And we know in the early days of revival here, there were many who came, even from our own church family, who were with our church family, but didn't have strong foundations, you know? Lots of manifestations, but no substance. All right? Now and then I used to call them renewal junkies. Lots of manifestations, but no substance. He's calling for substance. He's calling for substance. He's calling for foundations. So don't fall into that. What I'm talking about is not simply seeking an experience with God, but seeking relationship. And out of relationship comes the experience. And then comes the ability to do the works of the kingdom as led by the Spirit, not by the flesh and just good ideas. I mean, I can come up with good ideas. I tell you, I'm a great, my husband will tell you, I'm a marvelous good idea person. But it may not be something that comes from the heart of God. And so I want you to think about what is holding you steady when it seems everything around is falling apart, when you feel spiritually blah, when you feel like you're just going through the motions. Horrors that anybody would know that you felt like that, though, right? Mm-hmm. We need to be so firmly and deeply planted on the rock of revelation, which has many, many sides to it and levels to it. It's unshakable, it's unchangeable, and is a firm anchor for our soul. And I'm persuaded that that's one of the major purposes of the renewal of the revival over the last 16 years. How many were here in 94, 95, 96? Is there anybody still around? See? That I would say that's probably like all the rest of you are new since then. It's absolutely amazing. You weren't here in those fantastic early days of the revival when he caught our attention rather vigorously, and he shook the daylights out of us for several years. Oh, and he knocked down our religious structures. Been a long time getting those knocked down because, you know, we still try to build them because they make us safe and feel safe and secure. Do you know what? There's even the tendency to try and develop a theology of revival. I don't think he's going to let us. We just think we've got it all worked out and down pat, and what's God up to, and we think we've got it all figured out, and whoops, here he comes in from another direction because he's not going to allow us to do it. But he began to draw us by catching our attention and knocking away all of our religious props. We went to draw us into a depth of revelation that we weren't getting with all of the marvelous church programs that we enjoyed. Church programs don't necessarily bring the glory. Okay? So I want to consider, I want to consider how deep your foundations are. When I say you, I mean me too. How deep are our foundations in just four areas very, very briefly this morning? How deep is your revelation of the unconditional Father's love? I mean, is it settled? Amen. It's settled once for all. Never changing, accepting, wooing, welcoming, compassionate, affectionate, nurturing love. Which brings us to an experience and an understanding of his heart with restoration and healing and freedom. Do you have that deep in the very depths of your spirit right now and settled once and for all, you know? And bringing us into out of lukewarmness and complacency, but bringing us into maturity as sons, where we're led by the Spirit, even as Jesus was. You know, the word says in Romans 8:14, those that are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God. That's neither male nor female. Those are ones that have grown up from childhood and have come to know the absolutely fantastic heart of Father. And that's kind of like one of the main values of this church family. So you'll hear it along with the message on forgiveness from here till you go home to be with the Lord, because it's place marked X, it's foundational. What about the deep revelation of the Word? Actually, the Rhema Word. You know, this is the Logos written. My poor old onion paper is kind of getting thin. Written word, the Logos word, and then along comes the Holy Spirit. It's like he breathes his life into this. And portions of this that you've looked at or you've read maybe for years, and all of a sudden it's like he just shines his light on it, and it just like zooms right into your heart, into your understanding, and it's rhema. It's like God breathed into, and you never forget it. You never forget it. It's more than memorizing it, you know. Revealed to your spirit, and the Bible tells us that this, the Word, I don't care what translation you use. I won't get into that one. The Word has the supernatural power in it to transform your mind, your will, and your emotions. I think it's in James. It's receive the engrafted Word of God, which has the power in it to transform or to save your souls. That's your mind, your will, your emotions. Imagine, God can use this supernaturally to bring the change in your heart that you so desperately need. It's absolutely amazing. Not from casual reading it or memorizing it, but from a deliberate meditating on it and chewing on it and digesting it and getting it into your storehouse. You've got a storehouse within you. And if you have a storehouse of his word there within you, and all of a sudden the Holy Spirit enables it to come forth to do its job in you and for you when you need it. You're not sort of all of a sudden running around screaming, help me, help me, help me, God. From the storehouse in here comes the oomph that you need to be able to cope. It's absolutely amazing. When the turmoil comes, I have a dear friend who's with the Lord now. She'd all been born again and received the Holy Spirit a long time ago, 30 or 40 years ago. And she was a retired nurse, feisty little gal. And she was around when the renewal broke out. She'd been out west with Bill and I working in a ministry out west for a year when we came back to Toronto together. And then we came back in the fall, and then that January renewal broke. And so she came to the meetings in the early days, and she was just absolutely, so there's a British term, it's called gobsmacked. She was absolutely gobsmacked by the Spirit of God. And she got so hungry. She'd always been, you know, diligent in her studies and everything. But then she became passionate for him and passionate for the Word. And she was just devouring it. She was great to travel back and forth within the car, because we would have great theological discussions about this and that. And we were just taking it apart and looking at it. She got really, really filled with it and filled with the Spirit. And in the midst of all this, if she didn't get ovarian cancer. So anyway... She was here for a few years with that, but she didn't know physical healing in her body. And I'll never forget seeing her toward the end before she went home to be with the Lord. I remember her sitting there and she said something to me really interesting, because she was so tired. And she had very little strength, very little energy. And she said, I can't even concentrate or pick up my Bible to get into the Word to read. But she said, I am so thankful for what the Lord enabled me to plant in the storehouse. Because when I'm laying here and I need to hear from Him and I need to know what His heart is, out from the very depths of my storehouse comes exactly what I need for the moment. She didn't have to sit there and go, let me think. I think there's something on Psalm number something or other. Look it up. I got to read a word fast. No. The Word was in there, and it was able to work within her to bring her what she needed. How deep a relationship, is that a good word? Relationship do you have with what is revealed in the Word of God? Third one, and I love what they did in worship this morning. How deep are you in the intimacy of His presence? Because we're hearing about it all the time. His presence is good. And many of you heard me speak on this before, so just pray in the Spirit under your breath, because you're going to hear it again. One of my favorite scriptures is the situation that Moses found himself in. It's in Exodus 33, and I'll sort of read some of it and paraphrase some of it. But it says that Moses used to take a tent, and he would go away from the crowd. He'd take it way outside of the community, some distance away, called it the tent of meeting. This wasn't the tabernacle. I just see a little three-man tent. And then we'd go, and he'd take this tent, and he'd pitch it way, 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 because he had to get away from everything. He had to get away from the people, had to get away from the hassle of everybody. And he would take this tent, and Joshua would go with him. He would take this tent, and he would pitch it way out there. And when he went inside the tent, the Word says that God would come. Let me make sure I say this right. Moses went into the tent. A pillar of cloud would come down and stay at the entrance while the Lord spoke with Moses. Wow. And the Lord would speak with Moses face to face as a man speaks with his friend. And then Moses returned to the camp, but his young aide Joshua, son of Nun, did not leave the tent. That's worth a sermon right there, because that's where Joshua got his strength to be able to hear from God to take the children into the promised land later on. But here's this conversation. Moses said to the Lord, "You've been telling me, lead these people, but you've not let me know who you'll send with me. You've said, I know you by name, and you've found favor with me. If you're pleased with me, teach me your ways that I may know you and continue to find favor with you. Remember, this nation is your big idea, your people." And the Lord replied, "My presence will go with you, and I'll give you rest." And Moses said to him, "Well, if your presence doesn't go with us, don't send us up from here. How will anyone know that you're pleased with me and with your people unless you go with us? What else will distinguish me and your people from all of the other people in the face of the earth? Teach me your ways that I might know you." I got real excited about that, being an exhorter teacher. I thought, oh boy, here's another list I can put together. Better get a list of the ways of God so that we can teach them, because we want to find favor with Him. So I did some study and got a list, and it was okay, but I thought, there must be more than this. So I went to my small group. Some of you were here this morning. And I said, "Gals, today, I brought some concordance, and there's different translations here. Can we just do a study and break you into twos and go digging for me, will you? And find the ways of God that we can make a list of them so that we can study them, because we want to find favor with God." So they got together and they put their list together, and it wasn't much different than mine. Somehow it didn't seem to satisfy. I said, "I need my lists. So Lord, teach me your ways that I might know you." I mean, I'm getting rather passionate about this. And he said, "My presence will go with you." And I said, "Well, thank you very much. Now, teach me your ways that I may know you and continue to find favor with you." "My presence will go with you." "Well, I know that, but now, would you teach me your ways so that I can..." Could you believe it? It took, how long was it? A month? Duh. The duh anointing hit. I walk in that really well. "Honey, my presence goes with you. And when you start walking in my presence and being aware of my presence, my manifested presence in your midst, then you will know my ways You don't have to do all the study to know his ways to please him. We come into his presence and we walk with him in intimacy, even as Moses went away from everything that was busy. Where's your tent? Is your tent in the car at lunchtime when you get away from the cafeteria at work and you go and sit in the parking lot or go sit by in a park somewhere or something and just have your tent time? Where's your tent time with the Lord? So you can have a place of intimacy with him. Absolutely amazing. Say this with me. His presence goes with me. Now, you better look at yourself. Well, you probably only see about here. Look at yourself. Come on and say, God, you've said, your presence goes with me. Surely that's got to make a difference. So thank you. Oh, my goodness. Oh. And finally, deep revelation of what our spirit man is all about. Many of you know that for a long time, I've been saying, gee, I'd really like to get to know my spirit. I mean, I've been teaching about the Holy Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit and walking in the Spirit and Spirit, and Holy Spirit this and Holy Spirit that. But, I'd really like to know my spirit. I know you're there. I'm not quite sure where. But I'd really like to know what it means to be a person of the Spirit, a spirit who has a soul and lives in the body. What does it mean to say I'm a spiritual person? I'm a person of the Spirit. And so over the last couple of years, he's been pouring, and how I want you to have a revelation of this. God communes with your spirit, not your brain. Oh, but he's given my mind my brain. I'm supposed to use it. Oh, he's given you a fine mind. Now he wants you to turn that over to him and release that to him so that he can place his thoughts there within you. But God doesn't speak to your mind. He speaks to your spirit. It is your spirit that's linked as one with the Lord Jesus Christ. You are spiritual beings. And I think most of the time we in church just come and do the church thing and we have our worship and everything. But we don't realize that we are people of the Spirit and what the function of our spirit is. And so that's a whole year of study probably. Teach me your ways that I may know you. Perhaps as we begin to walk more and more in his presence, we'll start to recognize what it is to be a person of the Spirit. You are a spirit. Do you know that? Do you know that? Or because you see, you just haven't embraced the Christian religion. You've become alive. You have life there within your spirit man. Zoe life, the very life of God. That's such a difference. And since he's poured out in renewal the way he has, he's causing us to be aware of our spirits. And so, how deep are you? I'm going to read a blessing over you now. But my exhortation is for you to be seriously consider your foundations. Imagine what the CN Tower would be like if it was only like a 12-foot hole it was standing in. Would have been in the lake a long time ago. Imagine what my beautiful trees would be like if Bill and I had dug down about a 8 or 10 foot hole and put them in instead of just sticking them in the ground because they looked cute, these dear little 3 foot things that they were then. How's your foundation? Because your foundation is what's going to hold you steady, and your foundation in him as you work his words into your life, as he says in Matthew 7 and Luke 6, is what's going to take you and affirm you and release you into that place of safety as you go into a place of higher, into spiritual realms, higher into the glory, higher being the signs and wonders people that he's designed us to be, but is going to come from a place of a strong foundation there within you. So, how strong is your foundation in the Father's love? How strong is your foundation in the Word? How deep in intimacy and in his presence are you passionately going after? And how deep is the revelation coming to you that you are indeed born of his Spirit, a new creature in Christ, with all the resources of heaven there for you? So would you stand? And you can either put your hand on someone's shoulder or you put your hand on your own heart. Yes. I want you to hear with your spirit this blessing, which I'm going to read over you. Yeah. And because there's so many of us, it would be excellent if I could just call each name individually, but that just won't work. So I'll call you beloved. Is that okay? You're my beloved family. So let me call you beloved. But when I say that word beloved, would you say your own name? Beloved, I call your spirit to attention. Listen to the word of God for you. Grace and peace be yours in abundance through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. Through these, he's given us his very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature and escape the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Beloved ones, your Father designed your spirit, your soul, and your body, and he ordains and oversees their alignment. I call your spirit to the highest position in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. I speak to your slumbering spirit to wake up, and I say to you that it is safe. It is time. It is right for your spirit to look outward and upward into the face of your Father God. Holy Spirit, come and speak to your child's spirit the truth that he or she is accepted, affirmed, capable, and beloved in you. That he has no lack that detracts from who he is in your eyes. Nothing can separate him from your love. You like the way you made him. You like the way you made her. You're not intimidated by the areas that are lacking. You're perfectly sure of your ability to heal those areas, to restore broken places, to finish their parenting. Holy Spirit, speak to their spirit in a language they can understand and receive. Your promise to them is that you have that he has grace and peace in abundance in you. And that as they pursue Jesus and know him more deeply, your divine power gives them everything they need for living a godly life and knowing their own glory and goodness. Beloved ones, with your spirit hear the promises of your Father. Through his mighty power, he has given you his very great and precious promises, so that through them you may share the divine nature and escape the corruption in the world. In your spirit, receive these promises and the grace to pursue faith, goodness, knowledge, self-control, perseverance, godliness, brotherly kindness, and love. Right now, receive the enabling power to live these qualities in increasing measure, so that you'll not be ineffective or unproductive in knowing your Lord Jesus Christ. I call your souls to attention, beloved ones, saying, come under God's order, be healed, restored, and whole, submitted under your spirit. Be free from the spirit of fear that would paralyze you. Fears for the future, fears of failure, fears of meaninglessness, fears of man. I speak to your soul to discern the voice of your Father and your Savior, who will never leave you or let you go, and receive that love that casts out fear. Father, cut through the assaults of lies, soulishness, performance, religious spirits, all contrary words spoken or contrary prayers prayed, and everything that keeps your child's soul from being joyful, at peace, effective, and productive. Beloved ones, let your soul hear the Spirit of the Lord as never before, knowing you are in a safe place in your Father's house. He's pleased with the promises he's made to you, with your birthright, with your growth, with his work and progress in your life. And beloved ones, I call your body to attention and command it to come into alignment with your spirit. Hormones, metabolic systems, immune system, wake-sleep control center, brain chemistry, and every physical system, listen to your Creator God, who said, "This is very good," and gave his blessing when he made you. In Jesus' name, come into divine order with the awesome and wonderful way that God intended you to function, whole, healthy, well, strong, resilient, and alert. Come into alignment with the ordained order where God has placed you, because he determined the appointed times set for you and the exact places where you should live. Come into alignment with your Father God, the Creator of all things, the Ancient of Days, before creation, totally outside time. His covenant of life and peace and joy precedes and stands above all devices and snares of the enemy. I bless you, beloved ones, with full participation in his divine nature, his covenants and his blessings by his great and precious promises that he ratified in Jesus' death on the cross and sealed with the Holy Spirit resident in you. I bless you in the name of Jesus of Nazareth. Will you, beloved ones at TACF, catch the fire. Will you receive what God has already poured out for you? Wow, I just see as if he's pouring just from the words that have been spoken, because I believe he's going to work these words this morning into your life. And I also declare to any enemy that might be listening that that one bit will be robbed before it's understood. And this is a family of God in this house who will grow tall and strong and fruitful and successful, manifesting the very life, the very spirit, the very heart of Almighty God as they go about their daily work, their daily life. And Father, may their foundations become so strong and established and girded up that they will be able to withstand anything that the wind blows. In Jesus' name, amen.